This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Tone, the Guardians won. Yay! The Browns play on Sunday.
Boo.
Jose Ramirez hit a home run. Yay!
Deshaun Watson starting.
Boo.
Nick Chubb might be on his way back. Still in Ken Dorsey / Kevin Stefanski's offense.
Oh, man. Boo. Darn it.
There was a squeeze butt that had the insurance run.
Yay!
Deshaun Watson says he's not on social media and had no idea people were calling for his benching.
Boo.
Daryl Ryder joins us right now. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Daryl brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, let's start off with the good stuff first. How about the Gardos, friend?
Happy Friday.
Yes.
That was fantastic. I mean, the formula worked perfectly. Steven Vogt, some stones there, calling for that safety squeeze in the ninth inning. Pinch hitting Fry. He pressed the right buttons, and they came through for him last night. And a five-out save by Emmanuel Clase. So on to game five we go, and hopefully they can work the same formula they did in game two, except for with better results.
I should be mad at you, but I remember one time we got the internet turned on you, so we're gonna deal with this. I'm just
Why
gonna sit here and
me?
Eat this. Because you made Lyman and I look like heretics because we dared said anything about Jose Ramirez yesterday morning. You go, they touched the third rail. How dare
they?
You did. Everybody's calling up, Daryl, going, oh, where's Jose Ramirez? He's 0-4. He pay him all this money. Hey, you guys make him out to be the biggest thing in the world. He did come through. We're going, hey, it would be nice for him to get a home run or some more stats so he's, you know, he gets to the Hall of Fame. And then all of a sudden I'm getting cuss out tweets. And I look and it's because of you. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. But here's the thing. I had to learn it the hard way, too. Yes,
I know.
Criticizing Jose Ramirez in this town is the equivalent of touching the third rail. You
second,
just don't do it.
For a second, I was about to go, you know what? I'm going to give Daryl every bit of hell in the world. I went, I remember that Steelers playoff game, so I'm going to sit here, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to use it for show fodder, and that's it.
Don't do it. You do not criticize Jose Ramirez because he stayed here for less money, so he can do no wrong. But look, it was great he hit the home run
awesome.
Yesterday. Because it was getting dangerously close to him being the Guardians begging Major League Baseball to give him a double away from being 0 for the series. So, big spot, big home run, and hopefully he can come through and come up big again in a Game 5 tomorrow night.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. Hey, real quick, before we do move on to the Browns.
Do we have to?
Well, right now they're over-unders at 4.5, so I don't know if we really have to. It's actually lowered, and according to betonline.ag, it's the biggest mover of the entire NFL. However, is David Fry's performance, pinch hitting, a home run, then laying down the perfect bunt, is it a top five impressive postseason moment of this generation? I would say certainly after the 90s Indians.
Yeah, I would probably say so, right up there with Rajay Davis in Game 7. And it becomes even more so if they can win Game 5, right? I kind of feel like Rajay's home run, while it is a fond memory here in Cleveland, it it doesn't have any staying power nationally because the then Indians didn't win that game. They ended up losing in extra innings. So if the Guardians can win tomorrow night, yeah, then I kind of feel like, remember Sandy Alomar hitting the home run against the Yankees to force a game five? Like,
yeah.
I kind of feel like that's the potential that home run and then, of course, the safety squeeze could potentially have, but they got to get it done tomorrow night against Skubal. And I think the formula is fairly simple, and it's very easy for me to say, a little more difficult for them to do. If they can just get Skubal off the field in a tie game similar to game two, I'll take my chances with Guardian bullpen v. Tigers bullpen.
All right, Daryl Ryder. Well, let's talk some Browns, Daryl.
Do we have to?
Well,
yes,
we will.
We do.
You are a Browns beat reporter, and I was excited
yes,
to ask you the following question after hearing the afternoon show. Got in a big, big debate about who's ultimately more at fault right now, whether it's the coach or the quarterback. You've had a week to digest everything that's out there. You've been there in the locker room. What do you think?
Oh, I think everyone's the fault, and that's been the theme coming from the players as well. I thought Joe Bitonio put it well yesterday when, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, hey, you know, we as offensive linemen, we can't, you know, be blaming the quarterback or the receivers or the running backs when we're not even doing our own job, and the same thing goes for the receivers, and then same thing goes for the quarterback. So it has been just this massive everywhere you look, problem, right? I mean, it's not just one thing, and that's you talk about the over-under plunging for the Browns. This is why, because unlike defensively, and I've said this, and it's because it's true, like on defense, you can say, hey, if they can tighten up the tackling and, you know, cut down on the big plays, they're okay. Offensively, it's, well, they got to block better, they've got to run better, the quarterback has to throw it better, the quarterback actually has to be able to read a defense better, the receivers have to run better routes, the receivers have to catch the football when it's thrown to them, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And most importantly, they have to stop shooting themselves in the foot on early downs with the penalties and the negative plays, and it's part of the reason why they're the worst team in the NFL on third down. Granted, they're the worst team offensively in a lot of categories this season so far, but like it's one thing after another offensively, and that's why I pretty much have a hopeless feeling right now when I look at this football team, because they have so many problems that need fixed. And I was asking guys all week, where do you even begin with this to fix this? And you're asking this to be done in the middle of a season. This is stuff that should have been taken care of in the offseason and in training camp. So they've got a tough road laying in front of them right now because they've already played the easy part of the schedule. It gets much tougher from here on out.
Daryl Ryder with us. So offensively, what after this part of the season that you've seen so far, what do you think they need to get to? What does this offense need to look like to get the best out of Deshaun Watson?
Can I get to 20 points in a game? Is that asking too much? I mean, that's just basic NFL these days, scoring 20 points. They're a touchdown short of that. They're putting up offensive numbers that rival the 99 expansion team and the 2016 and 17 1-31 combined teams. There's no excuse for that whatsoever, considering the talent on this team. And I realize, okay, offensive line's been banged up a little bit. You know, David Njoku had to miss a couple of games, but he's coming back. But still, there's just no excuse for this being as unwatchable of a product as it's been. And especially with the money that's been set on fire this year. It's not my money, so I really don't care. But still, I mean, they're paying a small fortune for an offense that can't score 15 points a game. So for me, it starts with eliminating the mental mistakes. Physical mistakes are going to happen in a game, okay? But when you can't count to 11 properly, you can't get the right personnel on the field in the right situations, you can't line up properly, you can't motion properly. Everyone crying about the lack of motion. Well, listen, folks, when they motion, they mess that up too. So, I think that that's where it's got to start. Just the little things. Just do the basics at this point and cut the mental errors out, and then hopefully that will improve the odds to be more successful in some of these critical situations in which we've seen them just, quite frankly, fall flat on their face.
Do you want Kevin Stefanski to give up play calling?
No, I understand the argument, Ken, because they're having communication problems. Like, we've heard that this week, right? Ken Dorsey talking about it yesterday, to players alluding to it, that, you know, they're trying to... But it sounds to me that the communication issues aren't necessarily with the coaches, that it's with the players. And again, that's a mental thing. That's a focus thing. So, no. I mean, Kevin Stefanski's been fine calling plays. That's not the issue, and we had players yesterday. I think Petonio had mentioned it's not the play caller, it's the execution that's the issue. So it's easy to point at it. Now, when you talk about making some sort of change, Ken, which at this point I think one of the mistakes they have made going into this week is they've not made any changes, whether that was firing somebody, whether it was changing play calling, whether it was just benching Deshaun, doing something, anything to show that you're trying to salvage this season. I would probably say play calling might be the easiest change organizationally to make. So do I want Kevin to give it up? No, but I certainly understand the argument for it at this point to try something, anything, to change it up, because they keep doing the same thing over and over, and, well, it's not getting any better.
Well, buddy, could that be a player issue? Like,
yeah.
Could Deshaun Watson be struggling to digest this offense, whatever it may be, and that might be one of the breakdowns here? Because, you know, people are going, well, he needs to give up play calling. Okay, but you can't tell me you trust Ken Dorsey, so Ken Dorsey would call plays. So
I didn't mean to laugh at that. No,
but it's true. You get what I'm saying? Like, now we're just throwing things at the wall, and maybe we will get to a point here, probably coming up maybe around 3 o'clock on Sunday when things are really getting out of control, that we do start to throw things at the wall. And people are saying, well, let's let Ken Dorsey call plays. Yeah, but you told me before the season that's why he got fired. And if you're Kevin Stefanski, then you're giving up that power, the one power that you have. Well, wouldn't that be a dereliction of duty? The thing that we know you do well, you're giving up to try to help out a quarterback that might be past saving.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we're not behind the scenes. And what we are told about what's going on behind the scenes isn't always the absolute honest to goodness truth either, right? You know, the organization, obviously, I think it wants to protect their investment that they are spending $46 million a year on, who isn't getting it done. Now, his supporting cast isn't doing a whole lot to help the cause here, but Deshaun's a big part of the problem here. Let's just call it the way it is. This season, I think, is unfortunately going to turn into, can they at least get him on track this year? Okay, you're just going to take a beating for the rest of the season, but can we get to a point where we can cling to something like we've done with 35 other quarterbacks that have come through this place? That concerns me that we're at that point, but it is what it is. And, you know, to your point about Ken Dorsey and Stefanski and the play calling, that's you made the argument of why I am okay with Stefanski to keep doing it. He has a proven track record. He's good at it. And he can't go out and block. He can't go out and read the defense and make the correct read and deliver the football. He can't go out and catch the ball. He can't go out and make defenders miss tackles. Like, all he can do is come up with the best play that he feels in any given situation will give them an opportunity to be successful, and it's on these players to execute. And that's why I think it was on your show Monday. I said, it's on this locker room. It's gut check time. It's look yourself in the mirror time. It's come to Jesus time. You're 1-4. Your season's circling the drain. You can blame coaching all you want, but at some point, you've got to look yourself in the mirror as a player and figure out what you can do to get this thing back on track, to do, hate to use a Bill Belichick phrase here, but do your job to get this thing back on track.
Well, Daryl, let me ask you this, and be careful how you answer it, because I'm going to take this, I'm going to rotate the question.
Okay.
Can Nick Chubb save Deshaun Watson? And then I got a different part of it. Go ahead.
I think that Nick Chubb can help salvage the offense. I don't know that he can save Deshaun Watson, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because you can either play quarterback or you can't, right?
Yeah.
Now, Nick Chubb can be the lipstick on the pig and we've seen this with Kevin Stefanski using the running game to compensate for a deficient passing game. But the offense that they supposedly put in this year is not running back dependent. It is pass game heavy. So, you know, to your question, he can slap some lipstick on this pig and help. But I don't know that it's fair to put this all on Nick Chubb's knees.
Then let me ask you this as I rotate the question here, my friend. Say Deshaun Watson goes out there and doesn't have a very good game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Can the emergence of Nick Chubb playing for the first time in over a year cover at home for a Deshaun Watson who's starting after a very, very, very bad three games, or two out of three games then? Would that still draw the ire of the fans, or is Nick powerful enough to cover for that in a home crowd?
I think because of Nick's popularity amongst fans, he would be a reason they would bother to show up in 2 weeks on October 12th. I really believe that. He's that popular in this town. So now, is that enough to carry them across the finish line and win them games? I don't know, because I'm so cautious about Nick. He looks good just to the naked eye watching him in practice, but it is practice. They're just going through bags and drills and doing the rubber band thing that they're doing now. But I'm real cautious with Nick right now. I don't want to see anything bad happen to him, and I certainly don't want the weight of this season to be put on his shoulders like he's the guy that's got to come in and save Deshaun from himself, save Ken Dorsey from himself, save the receivers from themselves, and say, you know, just save the Browns from themselves. It's not fair to Nick, and, you know, I hope he's able to come back and be the player that he was before he got hurt again.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you next week on Monday. Hopefully it's after a big Guardians win and hopefully after a Browns win.
Stay away from the third rail, Ken.
Damn you, Daryl.
Have a good weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Guys,
you too. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Because eventually we do have to turn the page and get you ready for Game 5. Even though last night was so awesome, man. I don't want to do it yet. I'm not ready to do it. Maybe at 8:45 I'll be forced to do it when it comes to Game 5 of the Guardians. By the way, we just had Daryl Ryder on. He and Andy Baskin, they break down the latest news on and off the field. During their podcast, it's always game day in Cleveland, including post-game drops every game. After every game. I don't know. They probably could have started that podcast. What do you think? About 8 minutes left to go third quarter?
Yeah, I think so.
Subscribe to the podcast now, 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Nathan Zagura going to join us at 9. You ready to get your buckets out? Leaks are coming.
Right?
Charles Robinson was on Pro Football Talk, and this is what Charles Robinson said. Man, you know what? You can hate the message, but don't you hate the messenger. This is what Charles Robinson had to say about Deshaun Watson.
I talked to an AFC executive. We got to Watson as being part of the subject, and he recounted to me, he had an ability at one point to watch Deshaun in a Texans practice. And this was the year that Deshaun, it was his last big year in Houston when they went 4-12, but he put up massive statistics, right? So he said, I'm standing there and I'm watching him. And during the course of practice, I see him continually looking at the sideline, and he's looking at Bill O'Brien. And he's like, and I'm realizing that there's a multitude of decisions that he's got to make in practice, but he's looking to the head coach to make these decisions. And this executive said to me, I was stunned because we were at the point in his career where that should not happen at all anymore. He said, in that moment, I thought to myself, like, this is not a fully developed situation here. Like, there's something still missing. And yeah, he's putting up big stats. They're losing games, but there's something not completely right. And he said, that's something that he has thought about as he's watched Watson later in his career, was that Billy O'Brien, you know, might've been covering for craters, some missing pieces in that development for Deshaun Watson, and maybe how the scheme was running and some other things. And that's sort of what we're now seeing, is that he wasn't a fully baked cake at that point in Houston. We thought he was because of the numbers, but we weren't seeing everything that was going on behind the scenes.
That's audio courtesy of PFT. Now, you can go back through the archives. I don't know if you can go back that far. Can I say who was telling us that in Houston? It was a radio show host. It wasn't an insider. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He was here at the Fan. I'm sure he would back up his statements, but I'll let people go find it out for themselves. He was telling us the exact same stuff. The exact same stuff. Now, I thought it was sour grapes because of everything that was going on at that time. I mean, it was a complete and utter dumpster fire down there. And I thought a little bit of it was like he was maybe looking at that, why we are in this entire mess down here because of you. And I, when things are going bad, I go, okay, what's true and what's not? When things go bad in other places, I go, what's true and what's not? Here we are looking for anybody to blame. So we're ready to go after people with pitchforks. When I hear that, though, that's alarming. So it's like, what were we sold on? I'm thinking, there's no way they went into this not knowing that. Not knowing that there was that possibility,
well, here's,
right?
Well, here's the thing about that. Is somebody
would Andrew Berry advocate for this with Paul? I imagine Paul DeBodesta. To make that move at the end of 2021, knowing this?
Well, what, that he...
Or not knowing this?
That he can't read defenses or needs to have his hand held?
Yeah.
I'll say this, like, the Deshaun Watson, as a guy who has wanted him, was excited to get him just for the on-the-field stuff, I thought he was going to be such a difference maker instantly. You know, a lot of guys come into the league and actually have some early success and don't really know how to do things intellectually in a football way until Patrick Mahomes constantly tells people he didn't know what he was doing, yet he was winning, he was making up for it.
And I think that's part of humility there, like, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, okay, you really don't? I think you kind of do. And when I heard that, I thought it was sour grapes. I'm going, he's a few years into this.
Well, you would expect.
17, 18, 19, 20? I mean, you're a few years into this process. You're an MVP caliber player. I just didn't want to believe that.
Who looked like he was two steps ahead of some of the elite defenses in the league.
Exactly.
So that's why I wasn't buying any of that stuff when it happened. Now you're right. Now there's going to be a lot more people starting to talk about the issues with Deshaun Watson. And now they're going to make it seem like he was never good at football. He was never a good leader. He was never somebody who could, you know, audible at the line of scrimmage. It's like, come on, guys. We have enough film to see that he was a very, very good football player.
Yeah.
But you also expect guys to get better and to get smarter over time. And sometimes that doesn't happen. And then he had how much time away? And then last year he had a surgery. So it's like trying to figure out where your arm is and what kind of throws you just simply can't make anymore.
Like if you're
compared
just,
to the stuff you could.
If you're just playing by feel, it's not going to take you very far. There's plenty of guys who play by feel and they get by in high school and they get by in college. This is different. And like you
might have been RG3 early on.
But that's the thing. It's RG3 was good for a year. Yeah. Then he got hurt, and then that was the end of it. Other guys, they come in, they're good, they get figured out, and then all of a sudden the wheels come off. He was good for a few years. He got hurt his rookie season, came back, and was good.
Even better, yeah.
So I wanted to flatly refuse to believe that when I was told that then. And then Charles Robinson brings that up. And then you got every single rumor coming out about how much power does Kevin Stefanski have? Could he actually sit Deshaun Watson if he wanted to? Everybody outside of Cleveland, well, why wouldn't you sit Deshaun Watson? Well, the reasoning that they have is that they want to win football games, so you would want to sit Deshaun Watson. And the only recourse I have is something that Nick said, which I completely disagree with, but I know he might end up being right in the end. Does this season just become one great big experiment to see whether or not he has anything left before they have to eat the most monstrous salary in the history of the league? Because I'm steadfast on this. Like, I do believe on Sunday against the Bengals, next Sunday against the Bengals, Nick Chubb has to be activated by then. You could activate him and not play him. And they could bring out Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is such a beloved figure here. He would cover for anything. I mean, not everything, but I imagine everything that could go wrong against Philadelphia. But man, like, there's going to be a time where they're just going to start booing him. And then if you get to next year, like, you can't start next year. I don't care what Albert Breer says. And maybe Albert Breer will be right. I'll be sick to my stomach. If this continues to go into the toilet, you can't start him next year. You got to sell tickets. You got to get fans excited about something. The only way he starts next year is if he starts ahead of a rookie you just drafted.
Yeah, I agree. That is
the scenario. And you've just decided to go headlong into fans just wanting to replace him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, unless he played well. And then you'd be fine. You'd be like, all right, now the backup can get some seasoning.
That's why I brought this up. And it wouldn't seem to be right, and it wouldn't seem to be fair to whatever rookie's playing in college right now. It wouldn't be fair to that guy. But that's the nature of the business. You got to get fans excited about something. Fans do not get excited over the specter of $50 million off, $172 million in cap hits. Fans don't get excited for that. They could get excited for Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, pick your poison, any of those guys.
I'm kind of nervous about this week. I know the Bengals game is the one where I know Zach Jackson keeps saying there's no way they're going to trot him out there if they lose again this week. And that's why I do wonder if this is the week. I mean, earlier in the week I said if he struggles again and it looks anything like it did last week, I do think he's getting benched in that game.
And look at my reasoning. Look how flimsy that is. Well, we'll put Nick Chubb out there, and the fans will love Nick Chubb so much we can go ahead and we can start Deshaun Watson. That's not a game plan to win a football game.
No, not at all.
That ain't nothing there. Because I can say, hey, you know what? We got the same record as the Bengals. I don't know. The Bengals are going toe-to-toe with these teams, and they're losing football games. Their defense sucks. Their secondary sucks. Von Bell can't cover everybody when he's out there. Their pass rush isn't very good, but they're still in these games. We're getting boat raced. We can't get anything going offensively against Las Vegas, and we just got rolled up against the Commanders. They're singing that Hail song again. You can't say, is it Hail to the Commanders now when they changed it? It doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
It used to be two syllables. Now it's like four.
Yeah,
it's too many syllables. But they're singing that now. It's just like the old days for them. And so what are we, the get-right game for everybody? While we try to figure out, quote-unquote figure out, I think people got it kind of figured out right now, don't they?
I can't believe how things went off the rails last week. Maybe I sounded naive last week on the pregame show. I did, because I thought I saw signs against the Raiders. That went right out the window.
And I was
in
one
that
of the few
game.
And I was one of the few who didn't. So what's that say? Cuz I'm a pretty positive person when it comes to this stuff, and I couldn't get myself going. And I can't get myself going against this. You got Devontae Smith, you got AJ Brown. You have a defense that has taken on some water. MJ Emerson has fallen off a cliff for some reason. I want to ask Nathan about that coming up at 9.
And Philly's desperate.
And Philly is a desperate football team. And Saquon Barkley can run the football. And I haven't even gotten to the defense yet. Zach Bond's a good linebacker. And they're going to mix things up and go right after Deshaun Watson. They're going to put on pressure. And they're hoping as well, by the third quarter, he's going to see ghosts and run himself into sacks. And it's going to be the same old song and dance. And it's going to be the same angry feelings. And I hope and pray that the Guardians win on Saturday, so at least we got something to be excited about.
Yeah, during breaks sometimes.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say it.
We like to look up rich people's houses in Cleveland.
Zillow is the most active website at our station.
I mean, what else? When you get to a certain age, what else do you have to
do? Some don't even live here. Some are actually no longer with us anymore.
Yep.
So there we go. Fantastic.
And, we rue the day that we were born in the era that we were born.
Yeah, well, it's been a good run. Been a fantastic run for them. All right, Nathan Zagura joins us at 9 o'clock. Game 5, getting you ready for Game 5, ALDS, Guardians, Tigers. We had a call from Anthony in Cleveland Heights, and at the end of the call, he made a mention, and my ears perked up because I went, you know what? That's a hell of a thing to say, because it might be a hell of a question to ask. Here is Anthony in Cleveland Heights. When was this? Around 7 this morning? 7 this morning. Here's Anthony in Cleveland Heights. Listen to this, everybody.
If somebody would have told me before the season started, Beaver would be out immediately, McKenzie would go to the minors, Logan Anglin would go to the minors, 3 of your pitchers are going to be Matt Boyd, Ben Lively, and Alex Cobb. You're going to win 92 games. You're going to win the division, and Game 5 of the ALDS is going to be at home. Would you take that regardless of
yes.
the result? No sane person would say no. So the result Saturday, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but we're getting what we wanted. So whatever happens Saturday happens. Go there, be loud, and be a Guardians fan. And if it doesn't break our way, there's always next year.
Have they already had a great season?
They have, Kenny. I said that.
Because I said yes right there when he asked.
I said that. Absolutely. They had a great season. This is what I said 2 weeks ago before the playoffs started. Now the playoffs start, you really don't want them to lose the series.
There's people who want me to play that audio you calling some people losers over the freakout back in August.
Yes, and so this is just ultimately the really tricky thing about playoff baseball. Playoffs go so fast. They're so fast. You can be eliminated in the wild card round. It's like, what did we just play 162 for? And it was even worse before it was, you know, the best of three situation. Now, the Guardians missed out on that because they played so well this year, and it was such a great season. And all I'm thinking about is Class A, had they have lost yesterday, Class A giving up that three-run bomb, us sitting here and nitpicking Vogt and his rookie managerial decisions to death. Thank God they won yesterday.
Yeah.
Thank God. Thank God for so much of what went on yesterday and what mm-hmm. was an awesome game.
So,
but I do know this. A lot of people will quickly forget about the David Fry stuff
obviously.
If they lose
so
tomorrow.
Are you saying they have to win tomorrow for it to be considered a great season?
I will be able to reflect like months later and say, oh, it was a great season. I will not feel that it was a great season the day after if they get bounced
nah,
by that
come
team.
On. You got to stand
that,
for it. You
well,
got to stand for something. Come on.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're going to say it's a great season later on, you got to say it's a great season
I'm
now.
I'm admitting how emotional I'll be. I'll be disgusted. If they lose to that Detroit team and they celebrate in your house, and it will not feel like
no.
a great season.
Disagree with you. No, yeah, I mean,
it'll
it
feel
should.
Like a great season
it should,
to you.
Because Chris is right. It's Chris in Cleveland Heights. No, Anthony in Cleveland Heights. Anthony in Cleveland Heights is right. He's right about it.
I do not think you guys will feel that way if they lose tomorrow.
All right, fine. Record this then, damn it. Because before the season, he said before the season. All right, before the season, several media outlets picked Detroit to win the Central.
What did Ken pick?
I did not pick Detroit to win this. I don't know if I actually picked anybody.
I don't think you did anything.
I picked the Guardians to finish 82-80.
That's where I picked
them. I do remember that distinctly.
And so be honest with yourself right now. Looking back on before the season, if we were sitting here today and you knew that we would be in this spot today.
Yeah, it's a good season. It's a good season.
You'd be content with whatever happens on Saturday.
Yes.
Wow. At home. At home, losing to your if it used to be a rival, they'll be a rival again.
Oh, well, they're trying to have a rivalry sparking
yeah,
up.
That's
right
how
now.
It works.
The Scooble stuff and how that ended, and we didn't make a big deal about it the other day. There's a lot of people who really don't like Tarik Skubal, the way he acted at the end of that game. So it's a rivalry again, man.
That's how it works. And that, by the way, that is cool. I mean, how many Detroit Tigers players most people
so
know
you say no.
before this series?
You say that it's not enough to just be here now.
I can't fathom me. I saw that on. Cannot fathom if they lose at home on Saturday with all this excitement of getting to Game 5 and then losing to that team. Man, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. I don't think the first thing I'll be thinking of is, hey, great season.
I agree with you. If it was the Minnesota Twins, and now this is back in before the season started. And I know they had some payroll differences from years past, but the Twins have been the bugaboo in the Central for the Guardians over the last decade, right? Even though the Guardians have been dominant in the Central. But if it was them and we were in this spot, and I go, okay. I mean, the Twins are the ones that have been the veterans. Half these Tigers players weren't even in the major leagues in August.
I think we got to win this.
I feel good right now.
I feel good right now. I'm not going to feel good if they lose on Saturday night.
Ken did not feel good yesterday.
No.
And the day before, you were in an all-time bad mood. So it is funny
because
we were
pinch-hitting guys. Before the season, I didn't know that my manager was going to pinch-hit guys in the second inning before they even had a chance to make it at bat.
Before
I'll tell you that.
Before you got a practice swing.
That just caught me by surprise.
On the barrel of his bat.
Yeah. And they said, get out of there.
Donut. Nope.
Walk get back. On and get.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.